Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 520, the super spooky Halloween
spectacular?
Spooktacular.
Ooh, spooktacular.
Ooh. Yeah.
We know you guys like these.
If you listen closely, you can hear the ghost of Dan Graney.
Dan Grave.
Yeah, Gravy.
Oh, wait.
That still works.
It doesn't really work in the same way.
No, but I still like it.
So, Blake Feld.
Failed?
Feld, like he was felled in battle.
Oh, I was like, he felled over? That's not a word.
Yeah. No, mine is a word.
No, mine's...
Yours was not a word.
Yours is also... It's the same word. Yours is just the right way to say it.
Yeah, mine is an old-timey word.
But see, Dan has this advantage because he has 31 years of The Simpsons where there's already a Dan Graney on there that has all the spooky names.
So groaning. Like Isn't it? No, well, Matt Groening.
There's a Dan with a name. It's not
great, but it looks very exactly similar. Like but he can, he can already get his ideas from that. So
that bastard.
Right.
I say we kick him off the show.
I think he did that to himself.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So I guess let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Just quick shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get them. You can find us. And while you're there, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And what else? Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, you can like the page and then join our Facebook group, which is called the League of Show Sharers. You can also share an episode of the show and become a real life League of Show Sharers, and you will receive a
shout out,
a card in the mail. You won't, but
if you
wouldn't trust the postal service, but you will. But there's one coming. It's just that damn postal service. Shaking fist.
That makes sense.
Yes.
I'm still waiting on a birthday present for a party today.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
So,
and I'm sure you ordered it with plenty of time.
Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
from Sunday. Amazon Prime, by the way. It's like,
they're normally pretty good.
I know.
Yeah.
I got one of them.
Gotcha.
Not the other one.
Yeah, they've been slacking. Now you guys.
Now what are you going to do with the ball without the gag?
That's nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm going to throw it against a wall and be very upset with myself.
Reenact scenes from The
Great Escape.
There we go. Yeah.
Now you guys know. So they're 2-day guaranteed shipping. I know they do a lot of 1-day stuff now, but if your stuff is ordered with the 2-day Prime and it doesn't come in time, you message them, and a lot of times they'll give you like a $5 Amazon credit.
Yeah.
So make sure you do that, because I mean they'll do it every time. Like
what I like is they have an option now on a lot of stuff where it's like, oh, if you waive your rapid delivery, they'll give you $1 in digital.
That a lot of the time.
I do that all the time.
I don't need it. You know what? And it comes in 3 days.
A lot of stuff where it's like, oh, I'm not in a hurry. Okay. And then I get $1 off a book or
same
something.
Same thing. Well, yeah. And a lot of times the digital movies to own will go on sale for $5.
Don't do that anymore.
I'm sorry?
Don't buy anything digital. Disney's pulling it all.
Oh, that's such clickbait.
What if you own it?
I know.
If you own it, they can't take
no,
it.
No, I mean after they're like, nope, it's in the vault.
But
that's the reason you buy it.
Absolutely.
But I mean, just to be clear,
that was a joke. I'm not serious. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't like buying digital, but I get
But
it.
you know that was for theatrical.
Yes.
We talked about this months ago, and now the clickbait articles are coming out. But I talked about this, remember, because Die Hard was the first one that got pulled after the merger. There was midnight shows, tickets sold, and Disney reached out to them and said, this is canceled.
Wow, I can't believe they didn't just let it ride out.
Yeah, just finish the ones that are there.
Yeah.
It's terrible, and I mean, I don't agree with it or anything. I can only imagine that Disney is wanting to come out with some kind of a third party like way to run these like Fathom events.
I think they want to do it. They see how much works through Fathom events, and they're like, why let these theaters do these little midnight shows or specialty screenings when they can do them?
Mark my words. Yeah. Just wait a few months and some kind of Disney Fathom events type service.
I have no doubt.
Yeah. Especially no now.
I mean,
they own everything.
From a business standpoint, they spent $73 billion. So right. Like, they're trying to figure out ways to recoup. Now, hurting the fans of these properties, I don't think is the right way to do it.
They don't care about it.
Well, but
fans.
I think in their mind, though, it's like, well, it's still going to be able to be seen. It's just going to be on their schedule.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and not on the big screen. Well,
but I do.
That it wants
I do wonder how long until that starts to trickle down to the streaming releases. You know.
Oh, sure.
I mean, if you bought it, it's yours. Right. I'm assuming they can't take
it
that
back.
Away. But although I'm sure there's also probably some verbiage buried in there that would allow them to if they really wanted to.
I'm sure that the Disney lawyers have figured out a way.
But there would also be a PR disaster.
A lot of class action lawsuits.
Right. Like it's not wouldn't be worth it. But especially because, like, if anything, it makes more sense to let people have it because it's like when you sold it on physical media, you could still resell it.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
You know, it was always available in the marketplace in some capacity.
It's weird. I remember when we closed Blockbuster we got emails of things that we couldn't resell.
Right.
Like the Disney stuff that was like in the vault.
Right.
They're like, nope, don't sell it. And I was like, cool. It's going to go missing.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Fire me?
Yeah, we're going to do.
Yeah. So anyway, people who were kind enough to share the show this week, Librarian Cynthia, Aaron Marlowe, Griffin Fox-Smith, Chris Williams, Susan Carlson, Travis Tewitt. Met his wife at work the other day.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah, she works for the...
Is she in radio?
No, it's been a long time since we talked about that. She works for the Moolah Shrine and where I work.
For the theater?
No,
the actual
Moolah Shrine.
Does she wear the hat?
No, she does not. Okay. She's a lady. She can't have a Shriner hat.
Yeah, how dare they?
You can't let ladies wear that.
Is that seriously a thing? Like, they haven't? I know, but like in this day and age, there isn't a female Shriner.
I feel like they have to drive those little cars. You know they can't drive those cars.
Yeah.
I'm not even going there.
I will say, that's always one of my favorite parts of a parade. So those little guys in the car. That's good stuff.
Well, they're not little guys.
I guess they're big guys in little cars.
Yeah. There
it's the juxtaposition that gets you.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would just be an optical illusion. Why is that car so far away? But no, she...
She's 2 miles down the road.
Oh, no, it's right here.
Look at them go.
It was right here the whole time. No, she works for the Moolah Shrine, the actual shrine, not the movie theater. And so where I work is a big giant arena, and we... are the home of the Moolah Shrine Circus.
Uh-huh.
And so she was in the meeting.
That's fun.
And I was like, because I recognize her because I see pictures of her because I'm friends with them on Facebook.
Right.
So I see pictures of her. And I was
follow the Shriners.
I was like,
Facebook page. Yeah.
Are you married to
Travis Tewitt?
Travis Tewitt?
Not in radio?
Yeah, not in radio, Travis Tewitt.
She was like, what are you talking about?
And then I was like wondering, I'm like, is it weird for her that like I have to be all like, well, here's what we're going to do for the circus.
Oh, sure.
And I'm not like making jokes and talking about eating babies. She's like, she's probably like wanting to look like, I'm sure as soon as the meeting was over, she was like, I swear to God, that guy talks about eating babies all the time.
Don't listen to a word he says.
Don't ever do this thing here again. And if you do, don't let people bring babies.
Oh, yeah.
He will eat them.
Every single one.
Look at that fat bastard. He will eat every effing baby you bring in this place.
Now, I know that for longtime fans of the show, they'll completely understand that. But that episode's so far removed
now,
there's probably
true.
A lot of listeners that don't understand it. So go listen to the review of Mother.
Yes.
To understand that joke.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's worth it.
It is worth it. I don't think I was here for that one. So
oh,
it's
really?
Double worth it.
Oh, you weren't on the Mother episode?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It was a treat.
Yeah. So we had very strong reactions to the movie Mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that was coming off of his other, what was that other?
Noah?
Bible? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
the Fountain?
No.
No.
So, no, Noah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So back to League of Show Shares. Zara Vandercreek, Brent Smith, Julianne Jordan, Chris Sanders, Laura Connolly, Quiddick, Ralph Tribble, Ron Johnson, Gabriel Lugo, Colby Mack, Chris Magic Man, Tom Comiskey, Timmy Tuzoons, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Brad Hyan, and Tammy Sherman Powers. So thank you very much. And if you'd like to be a League of Show Share, it's very simple. Just share an episode, and then we will see it, and we will add you to the list. And finally, Patreon. Don't forget patreon.com/realspoilers. $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content, and you get to help us out, and we like you a little bit extra.
Indeed.
And who wouldn't want that?
No,
so
nobody.
There's all of that. I guess let's dig into our big Halloween episode. We decided to do a Real Spoilers Rewind.
Yeah.
And we will be tackling Scream as if we are seeing it for the first time. It's 1996.
Oh, man.
Johanna is on acid wash jeans. I am drinking a Crystal Pepsi.
That's,
Kevin's wearing a Swatch watch, which I know is technically the 80s, but Kevin was never fashionable.
He was just a few decades behind.
Yeah, well, I'm like, I make it cool because it's so retro.
I know that's what you think.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's what my mom tells me.
I thought I remember seeing this in theaters, but in 96, I was 13. So there's no way I saw the first one in theaters, but I vividly remember seeing this. It had to be on VHS.
Wait a minute. Mr. Latchkey, I can't imagine you didn't find a way to buy a ticket to something. Like, you could have at 13.
I could have, but I don't remember.
I mean, I think everyone remembers buying a ticket to something or there's.
I never did that.
Well, and I, like, we didn't have to anyway.
Oh, I didn't have to, though, because my parents were divorced. And so I could just guilt my dad. Dad'd be like, what do you want to see? And I'd be like, how about Beverly Hills Cop?
He's like, all right.
Like, okay.
Dirty Harry.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't a kid. I was.
I know.
It. Yeah.
I remember one time, though, I'm pretty sure when South Park, the movie, bigger, longer, uncut, whatever, came out, my friend's parents, I think, or my friend's mom actually bought us the tickets so we could go, and then we just went in. So
we went to the Union Station Theater, and they didn't give a crap.
Well, there you go.
I believe that.
It's like, whatever, white boy, go ahead.
When advantages of living in the city.
Yep,
and
big time.
Pretty much it.
That's well,
stops
more than
and
that.
Starts
no,
with that.
More than that. Yeah. So
the ease of finding heroin.
Well, it's meth.
Okay.
Well, I guess it wasn't meth.
No,
back
meth
then.
Is more of a county thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Trust me, I know.
That's. I guess I should. Yeah, just lean into your expertise in the subject.
You should always cede to my expertise when it comes to methamphetamines.
It's weird. I was actually thinking about this yesterday after I finished rewatching this for the billionth time. I don't think there's another horror director who has redefined the genre like three times, right? So Craven did Last House on the Left, which was kind of like the beginning of that 70s horror, independent horror,
right.
I guess.
Yeah.
And then he did Nightmare on Elm Street, which again, it was the 80s reinvention of the genre. And then he did Scream, which was another reinvention that spawned so many, not copycats, I guess, with the pun intended.
And horror was dead.
Absolutely, it was. Dead. I mean, they had a life on, like direct to video, but that's it.
I mean,
but not like big budget Hollywood getting behind. You know,
this brought back the horror genre and spawned so many copycats.
Oh, so
I Know What You Did Last Summer and
Valentine,
Urban Legend. And a lot of them took influence from Scream, like directly. They're
the twist and turns,
quoting movies,
Final Destination.
Oh, big time!
Yeah, exactly.
So so this one kind of it opens up. Kevin Williamson, who's the writer of this, is heavily influenced by Halloween. So much so that the main boyfriend's last name is Loomis. Mm-hmm. He pulls a Psycho in the very beginning of this movie.
Yeah.
He was a huge horror fan who realized that the genre is dead, and he it was really interesting in finding out a little bit more about him. He was broke. He was couldn't pay his rent.
Yep.
One of these stories like Chris Pratt living in his car, you know, in Hawaii and becoming now a huge A-list movie star. Kevin Williamson didn't.
I don't know if a lot of people know this about Chris Pratt, but he could eat no fat. But his wife could eat no lean. Did you know that?
Well, which wife?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really neat. It's one of these success stories. I mean, like, is it Christopher McQuarrie was working at Blockbuster writing Usual Suspects?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of these.
I mean, Michael J. Fox tells stories about how, like, he had to scrounge up money to use a payphone to call back to find out he landed Family Ties.
So it's an amazing, it's one of those really great stories where this guy was broke. He loved the horror genre, mm-hmm. and he was influenced by all that 70s, 80s horror, and that's why you get so many great influences. And this was the hottest spec script in town.
Yep.
You had four or five studios wanting to make this movie.
And they've got, and it's crazy when you look at, this was like the also the beginning of like the, I don't want to say stunt casting, but like casting young Hollywood in these leading roles. So, I mean, you had Drew Barrymore who...
But it wasn't stunt casting.
No, this one was on purpose. Like Drew, well, that's true. I guess it became stunt casting.
So
later.
Drew Barrymore was supposed to be Sydney.
She was supposed to be Sydney.
And she backed out at the last minute. Almost the entire thing fell apart. Wes Craven almost...
That's why she's on the poster.
Left.
Yeah.
But
I thought that was just a deliberate head fake.
Nope.
So well, they should have had plenty of time to change the poster.
Well,
No. But this is what happened. They left it that way, and it was actually Drew Barrymore's idea.
Yeah.
So Drew Barrymore is to thank for this mastermind head fake thing.
Yeah.
She was supposed to be Sydney for the whole movie.
So why'd she back out, but still
she,
help
I don't
them
think
do
she
that.
Wanted to do a horror movie. Like, gotcha. But she's like, she loved the first scene.
Yeah.
So she said, I'll do this. And she's like, if you think that the big star, the biggest name in the movie, can die in the first 15 minutes, you don't know what to expect from this movie.
It's the Psycho rule.
Right.
When he kills Janet Leigh in the first 10 minutes
but
of that
no,
movie.
No, it's not 10.
It's
much
well,
longer.
You know what I mean, but
yeah.
I mean, like, when you
but
kill
this
Janet
is 15,
Leigh,
though. Yeah, but this has never been.
I mean, you don't make it to the opening credits.
Yeah.
And like,
no, the opening credits are her hanging by her guts.
Right. So I rewatched this.
Which cut did you watch?
I watched what I think just the theatrical.
Okay, because they're this.
I bought
this
the bundle on Vudu
for all four of them.
Yeah,
I gotta tell you, three's a little wonky, but four
was really good. I remember seeing four when it came out because it came out recently enough that I was reviewing movies.
Yeah,
and I know it didn't do well.
Four was supposed to be the reboot,
and I was just like, that was really good.
Yeah,
I did not expect it to be that good
with the stunt casting. That's like they redid that with like young Hollywood.
Yeah,
where it was like these are the new up and coming people. We'll throw them in this movie. But
when I watched it with two teenage girls. So my stepdaughter had some money over, and I was like, hey, we're going to watch Scream if you want to watch it. And they really like horror movies, and she's watched a bunch of them. And I was like wanting to show her Scream for a while, but I also wanted her to see more horror movies before she watched Scream, because Scream is so meta that like you need to kind of have that vocabulary of horror movies to really enjoy
and the
it.
The rules and things
right.
like that,
and so I was like, okay, she's seen enough now. We can do Scream. And so... but I had to stop and explain, like, oh, Drew Barrymore is a famous actress. Like, they didn't know who she was.
I guess that's true. They wouldn't know who she is she?
And so I was like, she was a big deal. And, like, when she dies in the first 15 minutes of the movie and she's on the poster, the people were like, what the holy hell is happening?
Yeah.
I came to see a Drew Barrymore movie.
But you get a Neve Campbell movie.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. Like, she's a great final girl in this whole job. Like, she's a final girl four times.
Yeah.
So, which is just kind of interesting.
But she was doing, was she Party of Five?
Party of
Five. She was just coming off TV. Courtney Cox was coming off.
She's not coming off. Like, Party of Five and Friends were still going.
Well, yeah, I'm saying that she's only
having
TV roles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Courtney Cox was only TV. She hadn't done movies. So, I mean, this made movie stars out of people that...
Oh, yeah.
You know, Friends started in 94.
Yes.
So she probably filmed this after the first season.
Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah, is my guess.
Yeah,
this probably came out in 96.
And,
so.
And Felicity, which is where, actually, I think Kevin Williamson...
He did Dawson's Creek
right after this.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah, this got him the juice to do Dawson's Creek.
Right, right. And then he was unstoppable for a while.
Like, yeah.
Dude could do no wrong after this.
Until he did The Faculty.
I love The Faculty.
I liked The Faculty a lot. That was fun.
Now, he wrote a script called Killing Mrs. Tingle.
Isn't there a movie Teaching Mrs. Tingle.
And they changed the title to Teaching.
Starring Katie Holmes.
Did that only get greenlit after Scream and he wrote it first?
Scream is like the beginning of that. Young Hollywood, so The Faculty, Teaching Mrs. Tingle.
But he wrote Killing Mrs. Tingle first.
Right.
And so once Scream got made, then they started picking up
Kevin Williamson. It's the Cabin
in
the Woods issue.
Yeah.
They're like, we'll just hold on to this till Thor comes out, and then we'll go from there.
But it's a fascinating combination of right place, right time, people making decisions that seemed risky, but they paid off big. You know, four or five studios, you know, trying to get this. But Miramax had several Oscar-winning pictures, and they were willing to take risks. And when you talk about Weinsteins, of course, there's the whole Harvey Weinstein thing. But Bob is the one that actually really took the lead on this movie, luckily. So when you talk about the Weinsteins and Miramax, it was really Bob doing everything with this. So it's kind of nice in retrospect that we're not talking about
Harvey.
But he...
It is weird to see in part three, to see Kevin...
Jansson
Bob in part three.
I loved that.
Like in this weird meta moment where I'm just there on the Miramax set.
And I was talking to Brad Hyen and we were talking, wouldn't it have been great if Jansson Bob had a Scream... reverse they were just creating Dimension because they wanted their own like Sony Screen Gems and they wanted that sub set that could do horror and genre
and
pictures.
That's what Dimension became, and like the horror
and so I mean this got picked up, the script was like, it was a no-brainer, hottest thing in Hollywood, and so this really kick-started that part of, you know, Dimension being the horror taking risks. And
it's like they say that New Line is the house that Freddy built. Like that's the name of a documentary about New Line is the house that Freddy built. And then it's just interesting that Wes Craven has built two studios off of one property. And it's a shame that we lost him. Like he's got such an interesting body of work with like he did. There's like a romantic comedy in there somewhere.
He wanted to quit horror before this.
He did.
He wasn't sure. You know, I wasn't that aware before looking into it how little he was involved before getting the script, because it's like, I mean, this was Kevin Williamson and he developed this idea and wrote it and Wes Craven just came on board. He's such a horror master. You think like, he developed and came up with this craziness, but like he came on board to direct it. And
he got paid to direct it. That's what this was. It was a paycheck and he turned it into something that we're still talking about.
But he directed all of them. I mean, obviously.
No. Did he?
Yeah.
He did all three of them? All four of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe Williamson didn't write them.
I think he did.
I feel like he didn't write three. I feel like that's why three's a little wonky.
Oh, maybe, but he's
just a producer on three.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because I watched an interview where he wrote the script for four. So.
He did write the script for four.
Okay, I didn't realize three
which
was...
Which is why that one works.
Yeah.
Like, it's the you have to watch these in order because every subsequent sequel... like ties questions up from the previous movie.
Yeah.
Doesn't the guy that gets framed.
So in part two,
we have Shriver.
Here's your spoilers. Part two, the killer is.
Yeah, spoiled. Part two.
There's different aspects of this first movie that are like continuity issues as you go forward. Like there's the killer in three is like, wait a minute. You've got this character that we've never heard about in three movies, and now all of a sudden here he is. And then four does its own thing. Like four does not try to tie in other than having the characters of Dewey, Courtney Cox, and Sydney. Like those are the only characters. That
and they
back.
Offered David Arquette the role of one of the kids.
They did.
He wanted to play Dewey. So it's
love the theory that Dewey is actually the killer. Because it's great. Like when you go back when you read the theory and then you go back and watch
every scene,
you're just like. Well, maybe
that's funny.
Like I could see him being like, cause he's always getting stabbed and he never dies. Like, he always manages to make it out alive.
The whole opening scene happens and that's
which is great. Like that's very iconic.
Cold open. It's fantastic.
He's Drew Barrymore in the house, kind of looking like Janet Leigh a little bit with the blonde bob haircut. It's a little bit longer. Janet Leigh kind of had like a pixie cut. And you know, we get the whole thing where he calls on the phone and he asks the questions and he murders her boyfriend Steve. Now, this was an issue with the MPAA. Initially, when they kill Steve, you see his guts literally fall out and onto the floor, and the MPAA is like, "Nope, can't do that. Like, that's not okay." So there's a cut. There's a director's cut that's like, I think that got them a rated X,
and they were just NC-17.
NC-17, yeah. And they had. If you go back and watch it, they've toned it down a little bit, by much, but it's
still hanging there.
I watched the theatrical version, and I'm like, that's really gruesome.
It's very gruesome. And then, of course, he attacks Drew Barrymore. This is actually a really well set up scene where, like, the house is kind of by itself, and you see her parents driving up the road, and she's like off to the side after being attacked, and then they go in the house, and then. They walk through the house, they go to the back, and you see Drew Barrymore hanging but literally by her intestines.
Yeah.
Strung up on a tree. And I was like, oh jeez.
She's hanging by her intestines. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And then we get the opening credits for Scream and we're introduced to Sydney and Billy Loomis played by Skeet Ulrich, who is kind of the only one that never really came out of this okay. Like everybody else, pretty much Matthew Lillard and Jamie Kennedy and Rose McGowan are all here. Those are your main characters, and they all kind of fit the different stereotypes. Like Billy is the Johnny Depp of this movie, like so much so that he looks like Johnny Depp from Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's why they cast him, because yeah. they wanted that same teen heartthrob thing that they had with Johnny
and
Depp.
And it worked. Like, the dude looks just like him.
Yeah.
If you look at Johnny Depp
he
in Nightmare.
He kind of looks like a young Milo Ventimiglia.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's kind of like the dark and, not I wouldn't say dark and brooding, but like the brooding, dreamy guy. Sydney is the virgin. And also we should say that like it's a year after her mother's death. So Sydney's mom had been murdered by Cotton Weary, played by very briefly in this one. You see a very young Liev Schreiber, who I don't think had really done anything up until this point.
And I think his name is pronounced Liev.
Is it really?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
Okay. If you say so.
Yeah.
You've got Matthew Lillard, who's kind of like the goofy stoner guy.
It was funny watching this with the 13-year-old girls, because
Skits
they were just like Shaggy.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. And 80 pounds soaking wet.
Right, right. And
he's one of the hackers from Hacker.
That's true. Yeah. I'm thinking SLC Punk is what I know him from. And then you've got Jamie Kennedy, who's like the horror movie aficionado who knows the rules, who knows how to survive until you get to part 2, spoilers. that how to survive a horror film. And basically, the town, it's a small, dreamy town. And I say dreamy, it's kind of like it's like this perfect little town, much like Haddonfield, Illinois. If you break it down and you look at this movie, there's a lot of Halloween in this movie. So much so that like Halloween is playing on a TV in the background at the climax.
And they reference a lot of Jamie Lee Curtis horror movies.
They do.
Movies.
Yeah.
This
Prom
is...
Night and Terror Train. Like those are all Jamie Lee Curtis flicks.
It's such a smart script and why it was so sought after. It was the first time in a horror movie that they had deconstructed the genre and the characters were self-aware, and they brought up all these rules that as horror fans, the audience knows these rules and how all these tropes, with all the don't have sex and
don't
sell
drugs
back and all that stuff. But this is the first movie to address those, and then they break all their own rules.
They do.
And you watch it play out. It's so clever, and there was nothing else like it. Now we've seen so many people, as with anything that's popular, you see imitations, and, oh, this worked, we got to do this. But there was nothing like it in 96.
I think the guy who is on par with Wes Craven is like redefining the genre is Jordan Peele. Like, he's the guy that I would go to, and maybe Mike Flanagan. We'll see what Dr. Sleep is like coming up next week, right? Yeah. But I feel like,
I don't know, you said that the last 3 weeks.
I really have.
That's coming up next week.
It's November 1st, right?
I believe so.
Okay, then I'm right. Yeah. But I feel like Jordan Peele is the guy who is redefining the genre right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, the kids, it's interesting how like detached they are from the, like, their two of their classmates were just gutted and murdered, and they're always kind of like, man, that was messed up. And just like going about their life. And it's like, that still plays today. Like, granted that probably today you're going to get, you know,
grief counselors,
YouTube, documentaries, but like testimonials and things like that. But in 1996, it's just kind of like, oh, well.
Oh, and Henry Winkler's the principal.
Fantastic.
Like, that's
so
one
great.
That I always forget every time I watch this movie that he's in it.
Yeah.
And it's
Freddy's in this movie. As Wes Craven, Wes Craven.
Yeah, there you go. Which it's the actual outfit.
It is, yeah. Same hat,
he
same
brought,
sweater.
But no, it's the actual outfit.
Yes.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Wes Craven had it, and he got it out of storage and put it on.
I love when he goes, Freddy, what?
Oh,
he just goes about it.
He said he felt so ridiculous, but people said, you should do a cameo. You should do a cameo, and they finally got him to do it. And he's like,
he did that in A New Nightmare.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so in A New Nightmare is kind of like a meta version of Nightmare on Elm Street, where Freddy kind of comes to life.
I've never seen any but the first. I've never watched that series.
So I think A New Nightmare is also written and directed by Wes Craven.
I saw the remake, I should say. But
well, that's a shame. That's yikes. But yeah, that's actually, check that one out. It's pretty good. But he's in that as himself.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the kids kind of just go about, they're going about their day. Their lives continue as normal. Nobody really gives a crap that Drew Barrymore and Steve have been murdered.
And Billy, he just, I mean, not that he didn't seem douchey back then, but nowadays, especially when he's just like, oh, you know, like, oh, you won't put out.
Yeah,
oh, you know, you just need to get over the fact that your mother was murdered and have sex with me. Like, it's just,
it's weird when you watch it, when you know the twist and you go back and rewatch it and you're like, oh, he's just messing with her.
Yeah.
Like, he's messing with her the whole time.
Yeah.
So yeah,
now you know. I mean, spoilers, Ben, you've probably seen Scream, but yeah, he's crazy. So
yeah,
it explains it a little bit. But when you're watching it, you're just like, oh, he's so
cringy,
creepy.
Yeah. So we're back in Sydney's room.
And it's also weird to watch like some of those creepy, those douchey boy moments with Rose McGowan in the movie.
Yeah.
Who's now so like
me too,
and you know her relationship with Harvey Weinstein, the producer of this movie, and like it's just
yikes. Yeah, so we go back to Sydney's house, and this is where the red herrings start to develop.
Oh, and I have to say, that's also, aside from we talked about the meta-ness and the cleverness of the script, but the intriguing part is this mystery.
Yeah.
The fact that they keep you guessing the entire time,
no idea,
as to who could it be, and then the twist is the real brilliance of it, but that's what keeps the red herrings going, because you're, I know it's this person. Oh, they're arrested, and the bad guy's still making phone calls. It's
right.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So Sydney's dad is leaving town for business, and one of the things I've always liked about this setup is that I always wanted in my own house was the door to block the other door. I don't know. I was like, yeah, that's brilliant, because there's no way
you
can get
that
in.
Scene, you can tell they filmed it a couple times because there's already a scratch on the door.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But now in HD 4K is the only reason why you're seeing that. But
yeah, Billy sneaks into Sydney's room and they kind of have a moment, and
it's a jump scare too.
It is a jump scare. He comes to the window.
Once the kills happen, you're on edge, and there's constant fake outs and misdirections, and it's really well executed.
It really is. So Billy comes into the window and he tries to make a move at Sid, and
Kevin
Sid.
Williamson loves boys coming in through windows.
Yes, he does. Yeah, he does.
He uses that a lot.
Oh, that's a lot in Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
That's like their own little teleporter thing.
Right.
That's how he just shows up in somebody's Pinsy's window.
Yeah.
What was that thing that you had with the vines growing up that you could climb up?
Oh,
Trellis. Yeah. It's like, you know, Wackman House is that. And every dad figured out not to put those on the house.
No.
I will say, as watching this movie as an adult, I'm just like, God damn, that's a nice house.
I know, I agree.
I'm just like, look
both
at this,
of them.
Look
Drew
at the
Barrymore's
view,
house.
Well, someone had some life insurance on Mississippi.
Yeah, Matthew Lillard's house at the end. Like, good lord.
Yeah.
So Billy jumps
this
in the window.
Well, I think they filmed in Santa Clara. It's clearly a nice
Woodsboro
place
is the,
where they.
Oh yeah, big time. Yeah. So he kind of makes a move, and she kind of brushes it off. Like, they start to make it out a little bit. He moves his hand up her thigh, and she's like, nope, and pushes him away. Dad comes in. This is where we get the cool little door angle. And one of my favorite lines in this movie is, I'm sorry that Sydney talking to Billy. She's like, I'm sorry I can't give you like a rated R relationship, but would you settle for PG-13? And like just the look on his face where he's like, what does that mean? And she, from behind, she flashes him her boobs.
Yeah.
And he does it's a very endearing moment between the two. He has a funny little, like, cute little face where he's like, ah, dang it. And then it's a shame I'm gonna try to gut you later, but you know.
Well, it's interesting.
Yeah, well, he said he wanted to be all up in her guts.
we wildly
misinterpreted.
That was the NC-17 version, I thought. But though it's interesting, what's really interesting in this movie is that not paying homage to those early 70s and 80s
movies.
There's
no boobs.
This is rated R, but it's all violence.
Yeah,
there's no boobs in it.
There's no nudity.
They're paying homage to movies that had the...
Don't think there's nudity in any of them.
What?
That I think
in the Scream, I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe not. But it's like they don't rely on that. That used to be a big trope.
Yeah,
and they're
playing
with tropes, and they're paying homage to these movies, and there's no nudity. So I just thought it was interesting they didn't feel the need to go into that.
I think it's because of the producers. I mean, Harvey Weinstein didn't want to take advantage of women like that.
Absolutely. He was very...
Remember, Bob led the charge in this movie. We're going to keep that in mind.
He was a strong proponent
of women and their rights. Yeah. I will say the only like thing we get even close is, I mean, there's that one scene with Rose McGowan where she's front and center.
It was very cold.
It was very cold.
Literally, yes, that's, yes. They,
that's it.
It was very, very cold.
Yeah.
And she said in an interview that people asked her, were you wearing some kind of prosthetics? This side and the other. And she's like, no, what the, what
was
are you
I
talking
wearing
about?
Prosthetics?
Yeah. But yeah. And, Bob is the one that made them change
that's
the name.
That's a pervy question.
It really yeah. is.
That's just like,
back in the 90s,
I really
I
like your nipples. I want to know if I was seeing them for real.
Somebody
that's what
asked that
question
that,
really is.
Asked Scarlett Johansson that question about like, what was she wearing underneath the Black Widow costume? And Charlotte Johansson's like, why does that matter?
Yeah,
like,
that's
what are
weird.
You, what are you, why are you asking
that
me that?
That is a weird question.
Yeah, he's like, did you wear underwear under
oh,
that
that's
thing?
Super
and she's
weird.
Just like, what?
And not, yeah. So Bob is the one that made them change the name of the movie.
Some
they all
movie.
Loved the idea of Scary Movie because it was a parody and deconstructing, which is hilarious, the Scary Movie, which is
right.
a parody. But they wanted that, and like that was like a deal breaker.
And they say it like three times
they
in
do.
The movie.
Right,
yeah.
And so they loved that name, and everyone was so mad they were changing it. But now no one could see it as anything but Scream.
No. Yeah.
It was such. It was one of those things that they had to fight for, and luckily Bob won on that because that is such an iconic name. And I can't imagine... I mean, I know we know what Scary Movie is now, but
right.
saying Scary Movie 2 and 3, I just, the franchise wouldn't feel the same.
No, I agree.
It's sometimes a name makes a big difference.
I do like that in 2, they get even more meta where Jada Pinkett Smith and Omar Epps are going to see Stab.
Yeah.
Which is the movie,
love,
the movie inside the movie.
It's based yeah. on, isn't it based on
it's
the
based
killings?
On the, it's based on Woodsboro
yeah,
from
so
before. Sorry. And Heather Graham is,
oh, is the
is
blonde,
the, is the blonde
yeah.
character in the inside Stab.
Yeah.
So yeah. So,
oh, and I should say that the reason they wanted it called Scream was because there was a Michael Jackson song.
There was.
Scream,
yeah. Starring his sister as well.
So that's why that was like a hot song around the time, and they thought, oh, we need to use that. It's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's top in mind awareness, and the Scream obviously is a good,
and I feel like,
and
one,
Harvey was like, he wanted to be associated with another sexual predator.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, can Jeffrey Epstein, can he produce this too? Can we get him in here?
In hindsight, it really, it's interesting when you start putting things like that together that may be circumstantial, but I mean,
I think it's just, there's just so many. Not to start having them all lumped together.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So then she, you know, I had such a crush on Sydney that.
Oh, wait a minute.
The character, not my stepdaughter.
Not your stepdaughter.
Just to be clear. Okay.
The Neve Campbell character.
Yes.
that the girl I dated, like, resembled Sydney. And I didn't realize it until, like.
And that was after the surgery.
That was after the surgery. Like, 2 years ago, like, I realized, I was like, huh, that was fortuitous of me, I guess. I didn't even realize I did that until after the fact.
And now you make your wife get her hair blonde and like shoulder
know,
length.
Yeah.
With
no,
the...
I make her do like that weird Courtney Cox like layered hair in this movie. She's got some weird hair choices throughout this entire series. Like there is some Courtney Cox. I don't know how she allowed them to do her hair.
Well, I think she's playing that newscaster character.
I guess that's
and
true.
So that you want to have the news yeah. kind of hair helmet. That
yeah. That's
popular
what she got. She almost
yeah.
had the Rachel
yeah.
in this one. Yeah, so the killings don't kind of stop, but the Halloween aspect of this movie where the killer is taunting Sydney almost the entire time up until we get to Stu's party. Like he's calling her and he's messing with her and she's
the same voice that we heard
yeah,
talk to
the voice. Well, we don't know it's a voice box,
but yeah, yeah, with that same voice calls her and she thinks it's someone playing a trick on her. But then
right.
they start talking about her mom and
we cut back to the house. And this is a weird computer moment where Sydney is typing on the computer to call 911. And I don't really understand how this was going to work because I guess there were two phone lines. So like she calls 911 via her modem on her computer.
I don't know. I guess I missed this.
Yeah, this is where Billy shows back up in her, like, they're back in the house, and yeah. Billy, like, he's chasing her around,
yeah.
like, the killer's chasing her around the house, and this is where Billy gets arrested. Yeah. So, she calls 911.
I thought, so this is when the ghost face
like instant messaging
voice calls her and starts freaking her out, and then Billy
and shows
up. It's like
no,
a fake.
The killer shows up. Like,
oh, yeah,
chasing
her,
yeah.
sure. And then he's there, like, comforting her. Oh, my God.
And then all of a sudden,
on?
The cell phone drops.
And the cell phone drops.
Right.
I don't remember the 911 aspect.
She's almost instant messaging 911.
Huh.
And then
do you remember this, Tom?
I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have just not paying attention.
It's just a weird technology thing. Where I'm like, could you instant message 911 and they answer you?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is those, like, for hard of hearing, you.
Oh, maybe.
Tones,
right?
And then you type 911, and then it's. But I mean, I don't think anyone in her household used that. So
probably not.
I don't know what it was. Someone that understands that 90s technology, like yeah. I don't remember that. But.
Yes. So then they arrest Billy, And this is where the dad has gone missing. Like, nobody can find her dad.
He's a suspect.
Billy's now a suspect. So you've got all of these different people who are floating around, and then you're not. It's weird because Stu is the only one where it never crosses your mind that Stu was part of this thing.
Yeah.
They do kind of hint that Jamie Kennedy, like, maybe because of his obsession with Sydney.
But I never
and the
believed.
Movies. No, but I mean, you never know.
But they throw everything.
That's the thing, though. You kill Drew Barrymore in the first. You don't know what.
Yeah, they throw. There's so many red herrings. But I mean, I think Billy's the obvious one. But he goes to jail, and then she gets a call from The Voice.
Correct.
And so it's like, well, that couldn't be him then.
Right.
And we don't know the twist yet. So that's what's so genius about the whole thing, is that this doesn't negate him from the equation. But we don't know that.
Not at all.
So it's great. So then, so they're looking for the dad.
Right.
I think it's Billy.
Well, she asks. She's like, he said he's staying at the Holiday Inn and whatever, and Dewey's just like, nope, like he's not there, like we've got nobody there under that name, blah, blah, blah. They arrest Billy, and then I think they go back to school, and Billy gets out of jail. I'm trying to, why do they put the
principal's killed?
Yeah, but the principal's killed like before they set, or after they set the town on lockdown. Why do they set the town on lockdown?
I thought it was the principal.
No, because
they school's out after that, and they
But he says the school's out. He does that, and then maybe it's just like the kids running around in the mask. Maybe it's Sydney. Maybe Sydney's attacked. That's what it is.
Oh,
so
by
like
someone,
Sydney goes to school. She has a run in with Billy.
Oh, and he suspends those. It's just pranksters doing it this time. But he's like, this is inappropriate given the situation.
Yeah, and he sets the town goes on curfew, and he closes down school because he doesn't want any more incidents in school until this is resolved.
And then he closes his office door, and there's Ghostface.
Yeah, we see Ghostface, and they murder Henry Winkler. Unfortunately. And they apparently, I think that there was a scene where they go to the football field and they show you what they did to Henry Winkler.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it was filmed and they had to cut it because of the NPAA, or if it was just like in the script and they just never filmed it.
One of the interesting things was toward the end of the movie, Stu is covered in blood,
mm-hmm.
and there's blood dripping off his hands.
A little woozy.
But they had to cut that, and the NPAA at that time, they said, we can't do moving blood.
Oh, really?
So they had to cut it before it dripped. And that's just interesting.
Yeah.
I think of now how much stuff you can get away with, even with PG.
Well, also,
even
I would
TV.
Think, like, I get moving blood if it's, like, pulsing or spurting out of a
dripping down.
But if,
like,
if it's on your hand and dripping.
But, I mean, it was off a wound down his arm and dripping off his hand.
But,
so I just found that really interesting. They're, like, no moving blood, so they had to cut that part.
The MPAA is a weird. And even now, like, I feel like if you watch Hannibal, the show that was on network TV,
things
that
are
is doing way worse stuff than they ever
things
did
are a lot
screen.
Different now, though. PG-13, I think, really pushes it.
Yeah.
You know, if you see some of this stuff, you're like, wow. But I think
it's also weird if you go back and watch movies before PG-13, some of the stuff that they snuck into PG movies where all of a sudden there's boobs or and you're just, I mean, 16 Candles, you see boobs, and it's
absolutely.
Like, and that's a PG movie.
That's so weird to think about.
Yeah. They pull a guy's heart out in a PG
movie.
Well,
that's
movie.
Why you have PG-13 now. Yeah.
That's true. And Raider and Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
That's right. It's in the Gremlins.
Temple of Doom
PG?
And Gremlins.
Gremlins
and Jaws. Were the two where they were like, we need a new raid.
Damn it.
There was another.
Jaws, Gremlins, and Temple of Doom are the
two. Oh, and Jaws.
But Jaws is like.
Jaws is PG.
That was
but
earlier,
yeah, but
though.
Jaws is 76.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Where, I mean, it was a long. You're talking another 10 years almost before you get to Temple of Doom and Gremlins.
But it is all Spielberg. I mean, he produced Gremlins, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so Spielberg's produced, so it's like, it's all the Spielberg stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we'll just see
I think
what we
maybe
can do.
They were giving Spielberg a little more leeway than other directors, you know, because he's
probably
Spielberg.
True.
Well, they would have by Gremlins and Temple of Doom, but they wouldn't have for Jaws.
No, but by those, I mean, I think that's why it finally something happened, because it was like anything Spielberg was associated with, they're really pushing the envelope, and it's like, okay, I think we need to create something.
We've let you go on long enough. I think the Gremlins getting melted and exploding were the tipping block.
Yeah, it was the microwave Gremlin. There's
a scene in that where they were kicking a head down the stairs. And they didn't film it. Like, maybe they did film it. And they're just like, no.
It was the neighbor, right? Didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, it was the wife. And then they were going to kick her head down the steps. Instead, they just put her on a conveyor, like the motorized wheelchair went up the thing.
You know, it's all fun and games until someone's head gets kicked down the stairs.
You.
That's what the MPAA says, at least.
Yeah, so they kill Henry Winkler, and then he puts the whole town goes on lockdown. He closes the school until this is resolved. So Stu decides to have a big party.
A school's out because people are getting murdered party.
Yeah, right.
That maybe
right.
is.
I gotta
your
tell
next
you though,
clue.
It's also just like it's 1990. Yeah, that's
but
true.
You know what I mean?
That's fair. That's
because I think they even mentioned they're like how inappropriate this yeah. seems, and they're like we're just partying. Whatever you did, Sydney, getting chased and almost right, and scared because yeah. of a killer that's reminding you of your mother's death.
Right,
like,
right. Yeah. So we should also say there is a lot of tension between Gail Weathers, who is Courtney Cox, and Sydney Prescott, because Gail Weathers.
Wrote the book
and believes that Cotton Weary is innocent and that Sydney put away an innocent man.
Like, to be fair, like she's done a lot of investigative journalism and yeah. she's like, the clues don't add up. It might have been, you know, wrong place, wrong time kind of a thing.
Right.
Which, you know, spoilers, that's what it was.
Turns out that
way. So, you know, of course, Sydney.
Well, and he even kind of looks like.
He does.
The boyfriend.
Yeah. He's a little. Yeah. I would say that they're very similar in build and facial features,
haircut
same yeah. thing.
Does Liev Schreiber have that long
yeah
job? When that, you see him in those that, when you see him get in
really?
The car, like he's got that
he's,
look
he's
yeah.
got
oh,
like
okay.
he's got like the shaved sides like that with the hair
yeah
cut.
That's
like,
interesting, like I can only picture him with that short tight like what he's had Sabretooth. For the last if yeah they, he's had that they, forever though
it's a shame that he was in such a bad Wolverine movie.
He'd have been a good Sabretooth.
I think yeah
Sabretooth.
I do
yeah.
I think so too. But
so
he wasn't in. Oh, but he was in.
He was in the bad one.
Oh, he wasn't in the first X-Men.
No, that was Tyler Bane.
Okay, never yeah. mind. Carry on.
Yeah,
because I was thinking like, yeah, he was good. Like, because
should have worked, but no.
Yeah,
maybe they'll bring him back. Who knows? I
doubt that ship
too.
Sailed.
If they could bring back
old man Sabretooth,
if they could bring back Fassbender and him, like that, those are two of the carryovers that I wouldn't mind seeing come back. Yeah. Yeah. So there is this tension between the two of them that carries throughout this entire movie. They're basically at each other's throats. The whole time Gail Weathers is kind of playing like the I'm just a reporter, like I'm just doing my job, and Sydney's like F you dude, like this is my life. And then
she's very insensitive.
She punches her in the mouth at one point, which is a great little line from Rose McGowan later in the movie. Yeah. So yeah, they're having this party and
this is where you get the rules, Jamie Kennedy.
Jamie
with the
Kennedy.
Famous
I do
scene.
Like I do like the scene in the not blockbuster, but definitely a blockbuster. you could I could as soon as they walk in, I was like, I know that particle
Joe's
board.
Joe's blockbuster yeah. sense.
I
went
did.
Off.
I was like, I put together those particle boards.
Something
things.
Was tingling.
Like, yeah, well, it's you know,
he was killing Mrs. Tingle.
That's right. Also, Katie Holmes, who was also a major crush in that movie. So he basically this is where we. Get even more evidence that maybe Billy is the killer, where he's just like, we see Billy kind of talking to two girls in the horror section, and Jamie Kennedy is just kind of like, what do you think it's really a good idea for the one person that they think is the killer to be hanging out in like the serial killer section? And then he kind of gets Billy Loomis gets into I'm trying, what is his character's name?
Kenny. No, that's the
Randy.
Cameraman.
Randy.
I knew it was something.
Like they get into a verbal altercation, and this is where he kind of accuses
Matthew
Randy.
Lillard is very big.
He's a big
scene.
Guy.
No, I mean his performance.
He well, I feel like when
it's out there, but I like it because Matthew Lillard early in his career, and I don't know, maybe he still does. I don't see him much, but he always played these really like just weird, crazy guys, and so like I don't know why, but in this movie, and he even said he was surprised they let him do it the way that he did. But I don't know, it never like bothered me. Like it never was like that's bad.
I know it was bothering me.
Was
oh,
it?
Really?
Yeah. I was just like I'm like the director really needed to be like how. Why don't we try that again at a 7, Matthew? Yeah.
I don't know.
Not at a 77.
I think it's so iconic, and I he's always been such a weird actor that, I mean, since those early days, and I love the movie Hackers, and he's serial killer like Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
And he's out there and wacky. And
I feel like when the turn happens is like when he starts to do that
yeah.
is when it starts to be like, oh, maybe there's something off here.
Yeah.
Like that's when he starts to turn it up.
But,
a little bit.
Also, yeah. Cause I do think the time where it does feel a little odd is when he's trying to convince them that
it's
the other
him,
guy,
it's, yeah,
it's not him.
Yeah.
But then it's like this guy acting and he's not an actor. He's a crazy serial
right.
killer. I don't know. For me, it plays because of him just trying to be like, it's not, you know, like he doesn't know how to play this off. Right.
I remember my sister and I would always repeat like the feel a little woozy.
Oh, sure.
Like
yeah.
that's something we would say. We still say it to this day.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they go to the party and Randy we get the rules. They're watching Halloween in the background.
What are the rules? Do you know them by heart, Joe?
Don't have sex. Don't do drugs. Don't drink. I think that's kind of about
it's the same stuff you say to your kids.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yes, it is. And when you break the rules, you die.
Right. Like that's,
so watch. So you sit your kids down.
He says that part to his kids too.
Yeah, you break these rules, you will die.
I will kill you.
Yeah, and those are the rules.
That's but they're saying them as Billy and Sydney are having sex, right?
Yes. So and never say I'll be right back because you won't be back.
Terminator came back.
It's a lot. Unfortunately, so I mean, he's also the bad guy. So he
that's
can
a,
say
why
it.
We talked. That's a horror movie we talked about.
What, Terminator?
I guess two isn't as much. But,
two is not a horror movie. But, one, I'll give you. Yeah. One definitely has some horror.
Two's just
too.
An action movie.
Yep. So yeah, this is where Billy says, you know, he's like, "Hey, you want a beer?" And or not Billy, but Stu. He's like, "Yeah, he's like, "All right, I'll be right
and
back."
And you know, Billy has guilted Sydney so much this movie, and now she put him in jail and thinks he's innocent.
Right. She hooks up with him, and it's just they're at this. You know, they. I'm trying to think. Does he almost give it away right here, and then he's
no? It's after they have sex. She says, "Who did
something.
You call?"
Right, and then he almost
and he says,
gives
"I called my dad," and she says, "No, I saw the sheriff call your dad."
Right,
and then he's like, "Oh well, I tried to call first, and then I couldn't get him, so he called." Like he works himself out of it, but
she
knows something's a little off.
And then he's attacked. Like he is, you see, like he kind of turns his back to the camera, and we see Ghostface come crashing through. We should also lose Tatum. Rose McGowan in one of the most ridiculous kills of the entire movie.
I love this one.
It's a great kill, but it doesn't make any sense. Like she, okay. I mean, first
if a bug crawls in front of your garage door sensor, it goes down.
Also, like, look, well, it depends on the age of your garage door. So like some of the older, like the original garage doors didn't have that.
The stop feature?
Didn't have the stop feature.
Do you think they could lift a 120-pound woman?
That is the real problem I have with it. Yeah, because like the garage door that we had, like we had one of the early ones because we had money.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, but we had one of the early garage door openers and like had it for a long time. And like, first off, when you hit the button, you'd swear to God, an effing jet was flying over your house. They were so loud.
Had a V8 to lift that
door. Oh my God, it was loud. So maybe the motor would have been strong enough.
Maybe.
Jesus Christ, it was loud.
Well, that's a great kill when it goes up and then goes like
and
breaks.
Squishes,
you know, it's
it is okay,
but I seriously question if it would have had the strength.
She
to do that.
In this movie, she is presented as very busty. She is very, and then trying to squeeze through. I'm like, what are you doing? Where you're we all know the kill where she's trying to squeeze through.
It was poorly edited too.
It really
because,
was.
Like they would show her from the front, and her boobs were outside of the cat door, and then when they would show her from the back,
they were inside.
They were inside.
Like it was just like her arm, like was up through the thing. this is actually she goes out to get a beer. Ghostface is there. She thinks it's one of the boys. And she kind of holds her own for a while where she's like hitting him in the face with the beer bottles, or she hits him in the face with the this freezer door. And then, of course, for whatever reason, she tries to crawl through the cat door. I was like, all right. I mean, I guess if you think you can make it with.
And he pushes the
garage
door.
And he pushes the garage door and
she
lifts her in the air and crushes her head.
Yep. And she hangs there the rest of the movie.
Very Friday the 13th-ish. Like this is when they do the kills that you see on screen, they definitely ramp up the homages to Friday the 13th, because that was obviously the one was like, how can we kill these kids in fun ways?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. We'll shoot an arrow through his face or whatever. So then we see Ghostface attack Billy, and we think that Billy has bitten it.
Another great red herring.
Oh, yeah.
So
now you're just like, well, now what are we doing now?
You think it's him, and then she's caught him, and then he gets stabbed, and you're like, what?
Yeah. So Sydney runs outside. We should say that Gail Weathers is there. She knows this party is happening, so her and the poor cameraman that she is just berating the entire time.
I know you're 50 pounds overweight, but when I say come
move your ass,
yeah, it's like he put on 20 pounds for this role.
That guy is a great actor. Yeah. He's one of those characters. I think he was on.
Why would you put on weight for this role?
I don't know. I guess he really wanted to be on weight.
And he's like, I did it for the role.
He was on Deadwood. He was really good on Deadwood.
I mean, I take him serious. I think he wanted to work with Wes Craven, and the character calls for that. So like, he did it.
You could just rewrite the line.
No, I think
come
they
on,
wanted
you
that
beanpole.
Yeah, let's
there
go.
You go.
Yeah.
Get it together.
That's how history says it happened anyway. I get what you mean. But I think when you got this
BS on that.
But when you've got this cat, you've got Wes Craven and you've got this cast attached, I mean, why wouldn't you want to be a part of it? And if that's how Williamson wrote it, I don't know.
I don't know if anybody knew that this was going to be what it was.
Well, I think they were excited to be a part of it.
That's probably true.
Names are there.
So, yeah. So Gail has planted this camera inside the living room so she can see.
And it's on delay because that makes sense.
Right. Of course. Mm-hmm. So Sydney runs outside. She gets into the van and they're watching.
And it's also meta because she's watching it like we're watching it.
Right.
Like we watched it play out where we're seeing people behind them killing them. And then they get to watch and be like, kid, watch out.
And exactly. And then so Gail and Dewey are this romantic relationship has started to blossom on and off screen.
It's hard to watch the interviews where David Arquette is like, and I have a daughter and I met my wife on this. And I'm so thankful. I'm like, oh, I just feel so bad.
I'm trying to think,
they have the daughter still, obviously, but
were
they
divorced by four?
No, I think they were together, but it was like separated by four. It was, things were rough
at four.
They were working
and
it out.
And you could see it. Like there's like them together.
The real easy way to, what she billed is Courtney Cox or Courtney Cox Arquette.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
That seems to be the easiest way to.
You know, I followed that whole thing in real time. And like I listened to his interviews on Stern when it was going on at the time. And that's just rough. I mean, David Arquette seems like a really nice guy. And I know that was really hard on him.
Yeah.
That the breakup and obviously the daughter together. And it's just hard listening and knowing that story. But then I saw an interview where he's so thankful for his wife and everything. It's like, oh, geez.
You know. That's why I get it.
No, I totally. But it's just it's hard to watch now.
Sure,
you know they're not together. Yeah.
So they're walking down this road, and they actually end up finding Sydney's dad's car. So now we've got another. We should say that
a tumble down the
hill. Another great line, and she's like, she kind of like rolls her head over, and she was like, "Is that what you're looking for?" And he goes, "My entire life." And then I was like, "God, that's so good." We should also say that some of the phone calls were coming from Sydney's dad's phone, which is just like, I don't think that's a thing. You can't really clone a phone number anymore, I don't think. Just get a Go phone or something.
Well, if we're to believe that he's a serial killer from Hackers.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Hack the planet.
Yeah, right. So they go back and Sydney runs outside and she runs into the van and there's the cameraman and they realize that Ghostface is right behind Randy. Like, Randy is trashed and watching Halloween.
She was Courtney Cox Arquette in 3, but Courtney Cox in 4.
Oh, there we go. Okay. That makes sense. And what year was 4? 07?
4 was...
09?
I feel like it was later.
2011.
Yeah.
2011. Man!
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember being in the 2010s, and I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, all right. We were all just 2 years away from starting real spoilers when Scream 4
right?
came out.
Right? And that's why, and Tom reviewed it, so that's... You know, that's how it seems like so far away, but the thing is, like, we're getting older and stuff still seems like it was so recently.
Here's
but
the thing. It was far away.
It was.
Right, but
this phenomenon you're feeling right now.
Right.
It's only going to get worse.
Great.
And more frequent.
Well, this is like when I saw that Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back was 18 years ago.
I know.
Because I think of Jay and Silent Bob. I mean, I love all the Viewers Universe stuff and the Jay and Silent Bob stuff. And I feel like that was so much later than all the, you know, standalone, because there's references to Clerks and Chasing Amy. And it does. But like those movies came out every, you know, year to two.
Wasn't Clerks 2 his last one? Clerks 2 was the last Viewers one. Jay and Bob was like 2000, 2001. Clerks 2 was like...
But I mean, he was making movies in the beginning every year.
Sure.
You know, he was consistently making them. So it seems like, wow, yeah, Jay and Silent Bob was like very recent because it references all that stuff. But it was 18 years ago, and that blows my mind.
Here we are with the reboot.
Boy, this Scream forecast,
Right?
What is it?
Can I see if I can do it by memory?
Okay.
Courtney Cox, David Arquette, Nev Campbell, Hayden Panettiere,
yes,
Emma Roberts.
Yes.
One of the Culkins?
Rory.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're missing some big ones.
Am I?
Yeah. Big ones.
Oh, no, wait. Anna Paquin?
Yes.
Kristen Bell?
Yes.
In my defense, those two are in the very, very, very beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
And there's two.
There's another very big one. By today's standards, I think big one. Two more, I think.
Who?
Abba and Costello?
Allison Brie?
Oh yeah, yeah. She's she's Gail's assistant.
Yeah, Adam Brody.
He's a cop, yeah. and Anthony, the guy from Blackish.
Anthony Mackie?
No,
Anthony Anderson.
There it is.
Anthony Anderson.
Yeah,
who's Anthony Mackie?
He's Falcon.
Falcon. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's kind of funny though.
He's very funny. But yeah, like that's a big cat.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Not all of them make it.
Yeah,
that is
that's
the Suicide Squad of Scream 4 casts. Yeah, that's what that is.
Okay. And a lot of those weren't very big names at the time. Allison Brie didn't mean anything.
No, that's probably true.
But,
yeah,
still it's interesting to see. Now.
What does she do nowadays?
Well, she's on Glow.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's Glow's voice on BoJack Horseman.
Okay.
Yeah. The Netflix.
Big Netflix. She's in the Netflix camp. Okay.
Yeah. So now we are off to the races. Everybody, Ghostface kills Kenny, the cameraman, slices his throat. Gail Weathers, Gail comes back and, you know, she, we think Gail is dead, basically. Then we go back and Sydney runs back into the house. She's got the gun, this Chekhov's gun that keeps showing up. And now we've got.
Do we get stabbed?
Not yet. Does he?
Well, at some point we're getting there.
He does. Yeah, he does. He definitely does get stabbed. Maybe either way, we've got Jamie Kennedy and Matthew Lillard, and they're coming at Sydney. They're like, it's him. It's the whole thing. And then they slam the door. Sydney is inside. And I think
Billy comes stumbling down the stairs.
She's like, give me the gun.
And he gets the gun from her
and then shoots Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
And now that's the turn.
And then he reveals and he references a horror movie. I can't remember which one, but then you get like, oh, because the Ghostface is always referencing horror movies that like from the very beginning,
right?
You know, trivia and all that. And then he references a horror movie, and then you get the big reveal
that it's Matthew Lillard and Skeet Ulrich, are the killers.
This was the genius of this movie, was the fact that you didn't think of it possibly being two people.
Right.
So they kept throwing these red herrings at you, and they kept proving the innocence of one character or the other. But when you put two in the equation, knowing that, then they didn't, you know, none of them were innocent.
Yeah, they reveal. She's like, why are you doing this? And he was like, motive's dumb. Nobody, who cares about motive? You just care about a body count.
So they actually, in the script, they went back and forth between should they have a motive or should they not? And they did both.
Yeah.
Because he gives the whole, does a motive matter? But then he talks
and
about
the mom. He gives the motive. So the deal is that Billy's dad left town. No, Billy's mom left town because Billy's dad was having an affair with Sydney's mom. And they're going to set it all up to where the dad, Sydney's dad, is the killer. They were going to be Billy and Stu are going to be the final survivors, which is very close to the Scream 4 plot. Like, that's very close that they were going to frame. And it was going to be. And,
There's no need to spoil four. That's so far away. That's not necessary.
So, yeah. So
that hasn't happened yet. We're only reviewing Scream 1.
That's true.
We can't say what 4 emulates. Yeah, it's 1.
Right. So, yeah. So then. They pull Sydney's dad out of a closet, and he's, you know, got
so
his,
we find out that's why he's missing.
That's why he's missing. That's why his car is there. And we also, the kind of the reveal is that I guess Billy's Billy's dad, I guess, was kind of not okay after his mom left. And that kind of added to Billy's psychosis at that point. So Billy and Stu basically just start stabbing each other because they want to be the final survivors. Billy goes a little crazy with the blade, and he's going to kill Matthew Lillard. Basically he stabbed him enough where he's just, you know, I'm getting a little woozy here. Goes back to grab the gun cause they're going to kill Sydney, and then the gun's gone. And there's Gail Weathers, who is not dead. And he was like, she looked dead. I didn't know. Like, she looked dead enough. And then, big old fight ensues.
This is the great improv line from Matthew Lillard when he's like, "Oh, my parents are gonna be so mad."
Oh my god, that's such a great. She's like,
"What a great line!
My mom and dad are gonna be so pissed at me." They're gonna be more pissed when they realize that Sydney threw a TV on his head,
They're gonna be pissed. They murdered a bunch of people.
I guess
actually,
that's true. Yeah.
They kill
Matthew Lillard that way. Stu gets shot, but he keeps coming. You know, this is the typical, just when you think the killer's dead, he keeps coming back. So he gets shot, he gets knocked down, and then he sits back up, and I think Sydney shoots him in the head.
I thought that was Billy that gets.
What did I say?
Stu?
It is Billy. Stu gets this TV in the face.
You're kind of like me with this stuff. Does this final line ever bother you?
What's that?
the final line.
Not in my movie.
Yes. It bothers me because they're like, this is the part of the movie where the killer comes back to life to scare them. And she shoots him and says, not in my movie. Why didn't they just say comes back and kills them or something? Because it's like he does come back and scare them.
Right.
Yeah. So the not in my movie, I don't think is a very good like action movie catchphrase because it's like, he did that.
Right.
So it is in her movie. I just didn't like it. It's the logic in me. And it's a nitpick, but I just, every time I see it, I'm like, it happens. So it is in your movie. But
shoots Billy in the head. And that's, Dewey's alive. Like, we think that Dewey
And he was supposed to die. They loved him so much, they filmed two versions. They're like, that was the last day of filming, and they're like, let's film him coming back through the doorway that he's alive still. And
is he on the doorway, or is it like he's on the stretcher? That's how we see that he's alive.
Oh, I thought he comes, or they carry him through the doorway in the stretcher.
And he kind of like raises his hand.
So that wasn't even in that. And they're like, it's going to be a mistake if we don't.
Don't worry. Every subsequent movie after this, he's getting stabbed. Somewhere or another, you think you're going to lose Dewey, but...
Deputy Doofy.
And I think this is a brilliant movie. This movie holds up. 1996, I think it's kind of hard to hold up.
An interesting little tidbit watching this with 13-year-old girls.
Yes.
When they're in the car, and when she's in the van, and Ghostface is trying to get in the van, and he has the keys, and she's locking the door.
Yeah.
Like, we had to explain how keys and door
locks
worked.
Oh, my God.
Like, they didn't have fobs to unlock.
Right. Like, they were just like, well, just hit the... How's he opening the car?
Oh, my God.
Like, they didn't even understand that the key would open the car door.
That's crazy. That hurts a little bit.
And that they couldn't just hit the button and lock it all at once. And, yeah, like...
That is hilarious.
Oh, no. Like,
that's actually another Halloween reference. If you look at that scene... when he comes up through the back of the cop SUV, the way he grabs her throat is exactly how he kills where the shape kills Annie Brackett in the first Halloween. Like, the way that Sydney even kicks her legs up in the air is almost exactly the same way.
Gotcha.
That's funny that they were just like, what is it? Why?
Door locks.
Sheriff Brackett's coming back for the sequels.
They're bringing everybody back.
I mean,
except for Tommy Doyle.
You would think he'd be retired by now, but I don't know. Maybe he's just going to be like living in the community, or maybe he just doesn't want to retire.
I wonder.
Who wrote the Book of Love?
No. If they're going to make that daughter the killer. I feel like that Halloween reboot was like, look, we're going back to basics. Like, we'll just reintroduce you to all these characters. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they have the balls to be like, Michael Myers is dead, but the psychosis isn't.
No.
Have you seen it?
His body's gone. They did the classic, just like Halloween.
They almost made a 5-year-old the killer in part 4.
Well, there's a reason why we're excluding all those from canon.
No, there's not. Four is a good movie. That's all right. So I'm wondering if they have the like to do something weird or crazy.
This movie got so hot they let Kevin Williams into a Halloween.
I know, that's true. Yeah, he wrote the spec script for Halloween H2O.
Yeah.
Some of his stuff made it into that movie. I don't think he wrote.
People like that movie, right?
H2O is a good movie. Yeah. I like that movie. There's some issues with the mask. Because they couldn't get the rights to certain things, so they had to like...
Because of the Shat?
Yeah, because of the Shat. But like, also, there's like a CGI mask that's really bad at one point in the movie.
But going to your point and saying it holds up, I mean, practical effects. This
every
is
time.
Horror Master Wes Craven and using practical horror effects, and that's why it still holds up. There's none of that crappy CG blood going around. I mean,
it's
physical, it's real, it looks gross, and you don't see it because it's all like CG because it's easy to clean up and do multiple takes now.
Oh, yeah. And I think even if you go like we talk about the young Hollywood in part 2, I think you get Jada Pinkett Smith. You get Omar Epps, Jerry O'Connell, Timothy Olyphant-tastic is in it. Laurie Metcalf is in it. And then your original cast is all in it as well. 3, I think you get another guy from Party of Five.
Kevin Smith.
Yeah, right. One of the guys from Party of Five is in it. Like so. And then 4 obviously is like. A who's who of Hollywood at that point, very young Hollywood at that point.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can also... Where was I at? Oh, Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And you can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. While you're there, subscribe or do whatever you need to do on Spotify. I don't know if they call it that, but do it. And of course, Patreon, patreon.com/realspoiler. So that's it for this one. On the next one, we will tackle Countdown. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Doofy isn't disabled.
Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
It's almost time, kids. The clock is ticking.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.